Hello again, I'm Ian Masters, and you've been listening to the President of the United States, Barack Obama, speaking from the University of Arizona in Tucson. I believe we're going to go to the KPFK Evening News in progress. Alan Minsky?
Actually, Ian, we're going to quickly, before we go there, get your reflections on the talk, and I'll offer up a couple of mine, and we'll go in progress to the California report from KPFA, and we just need assurances that that's coming through live, and we'll go to it in a few minutes. But first, we're going to get some reflections on the speech from yourself and myself. And the thing that I have to say was obviously Barack Obama is a fantastic orator. He has quite the capabilities to step up to the moment. And I think we'll see, I expect in the press, we'll see great praise for his speech. But the thing that really struck me, well, actually 2 points, is while there was a lot, as you said, there's a lot of scripture. We heard Janet Napolitano earlier. Eric Holder, who we didn't play on KPFK, also cited scripture. And Barack Obama turned there very quickly, but only for 4 lines, and then went quickly, of course, to his one of his great professional expertise, which is constitutional scholarship, and framed what was going on when the shooting occurred in terms of American democratic process. I thought that was done very eloquently. The second, and I think continually, if you look at the subtext of the speech, he returns back to the issues of American democracy, how we function within the Constitution and try to achieve democracy. But then I thought the major, you know, sort of point being made is, of course, in harmony not only with John Stewart and the Rally for Sanity, but in particular theme of the first years of the Obama presidency, which is a call for greater civility. He's always looking for everybody to participate, whether it's for bipartisanship, stretching, trying to get that one vote from the other side of the aisle. But he's seeking civility and participation in government. And these were the themes that I think he really emphasized here, which I don't think really would be surprising to anybody. And, of course, it was a very dramatically crafted speech.
Well, that is who Barack Obama is. I mean, I spoke with Robert Putnam from Harvard, who held these seminars when Obama was a constitutional scholar there at Harvard. And he did spend weekends with people like Ralph Reed of the Christian Coalition. And he tried, and I think that has been who he is. And I think a lot of people think he should toughen up and take on the people who say these terrible things about him. But, you know, on the one hand, if he does that, I think he'd be accused by the right wing in this country of being an angry black man. So I think this was a very moving speech, and I think it was, I don't want to talk about the mechanics of it because, so much is the fact that he introduced you to these people who have died.
Right.
And he told you who they were and what they meant. And it is humbling, and we all should take note.
Right. No, he definitely – I mean, obviously, the crises that inform his presidency, they don't go away, and one of which, of course, is the now sizable majority that the opposition party has in the lower house of Congress, but in particular, the economic crisis. This does nothing to change the way in which he has responded to the economy. But
I think that's that's a complete. He's been blindsided about that from day one, and that is a huge albatross.
Right, but as I said,
millstone.
Right.
What I don't know that he, his political fortunes are entirely tied up in this impatient American electorate that expects miracles. I mean, we were talking early that the best thing that could happen to him, just in a political sense, would be that Sarah Palin gets the nomination. And clearly she is ill-equipped to be a president of the United States, let alone dog catcher in Wasilla. But that is the situation we have. But just in terms of that speech, that was, I think, exactly what was required and should give us all pause to be less partisan, to be more open to deliberation and cooperation and less self-righteous about our political positions, and I think it'll pay off for him.
Well,
because as I said earlier, we may not like it. People on the left may not like it, but the center of American politics is the center.
There's no particular reason. Again, this wasn't. I suppose what I'm trying to get at is this. Of course, this wasn't a content political speech. And, you know, he did, I think, a masterful job, and his speechwriters along with him did a masterful job of framing what was going on there and why the people were drawn to the event, the people who were wounded or killed on Saturday in Arizona. They were there to participate in the democratic process, to meet with their representative. The political situation in Arizona is extremely tense, extremely heightened. So it's a very dramatic circumstance to go out into public, meet your congressperson. Nobody expected what happened would happen, of course. But, Barack Obama got to sort of bring to the American public the idea that this is a population that wants to participate. There are countless people across the society who desperately want to participate in a democratic society, democratic participation. And I think he framed that very well. That's what this event was about. You know, and I do think, though, in terms of the news, and we are a public affairs political talk radio station, the big issue is whether this speech will provide the same kind of boost to Barack Obama, whose poll numbers have been slightly improving over the past few weeks, that occurred with Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. I'd be hard-pressed to think that it won't. I mean, having listened to it, I think it will be received very positively.
Well, I think that the president was the country obviously requires political leadership, but I think he was reaching even above that to moral leadership. And I think he was very successful in that regard. It gives us all pause. I mean, I was saying earlier that I'd like to see him take on these Tea Party people who have been maligning him for so long, and that clearly didn't happen. And frankly, it's not appropriate. It's just how I feel and how a lot of partisan people feel.
There was a request for more civil discourse. He said that he could stick to that and point back to this occasion and to this speech. I think he's made an extremely high profile speech where he's calling upon people to do that again. I mean, when you look at an event like this, I do think we're remiss as political journalists not to, frame this in terms of a politician who had the American population in the palm of his hand a little over 2 years ago, like nobody in recent times. And he fell so far, so fast to an overwhelming defeat in the midterm elections. And it's interesting
that had a lot to do with the way that the media works and the political system works and the impatience.
And the economy,
of
course, too.
But just think for a moment, though, Alan, about what happened in this tragedy and how often these tragedies happen. That ought to give us pause. This is a continuum. These things keep happening. You could not have invented a more stark kind of tragedy and a contrast between some poor, deranged, drug-addled kid who completely lost and influenced by the insane conspiratorial nonsense, which I rail against all the time. Compare that to the extraordinary person that this congresswoman turns out to be. I didn't know anything about her. Mm-hmm. She turns out to be a really interesting and wonderful woman. And her husband's an astronaut, for God's sake. And the kid that was killed,
Gabe Zimmerman.
His father works for the Dodger organization.
Oh no, that's Christine Green.
And then you've got the fact that the brother-in-law of the congresswoman is up in space now on the space station. He's in charge of the space station. So if you wanted to sort of really stab America in the heart and hurt a lot of really good people, that's what this tragedy has done, and that's what this person has done. And just like Lee Harvey Oswald and all these hideous people, Bremer and the whole crowd of them, the thing that we can never get used to is that really stupid, low-life, idiotic people can cause incredible damage. And the fact that we can't explain that quite often has led to a lot of these conspiracy theories.
Well, again, my thought again about this particular speech is that unlike the State of the Union that's coming up, where Obama's going to have to address some very uneasy issues, right? Because let's face it, he's going to have to speak about the war in Afghanistan. That's not going so pleasantly. He's going to have to speak about the economy. He's going to say it's turning around. Not many people are really going to believe him. This is an opportunity, though, to return. And one of the criticisms, of course, of Barack Obama that we've heard across the political spectrum is that hope and change, the great themes of the 2008 campaign, where was the the substance to it. And this is an opportunity. It's that, not that this was a substanceless speech, but an opportunity to just, again, reintroduce himself to the American public as somebody who can provide a great moral message in a time of really just sort of heightened drama. And in that sense, Barack Obama is more than a serviceable public servant. He's exceptional in moments like this.
And, you know, he's basically challenged us all to do more work and to work to make the country better and stop criticizing and calling each other names and start trying to work together to solve these enormous problems. And none, of course, are more, I think, appropriate at this moment than to deal with this obscenity with the proliferation of guns, with the fact that we cast away people like used Kleenex tissues and the streets are full of poor lost souls who are clearly mentally ill. These are a national disgrace, both the proliferation of guns and the lack of mental health care. So there's a place to start.
Well, and I obviously as the program director here currently, I just want to say that, of course, Pacifica Radio was founded on a mission of providing civil discourse. A caller has called in and said that Obama provided moral leadership in this talk, but now it's up to us, all of us, meaning all of you listening and all of us here in the society, to do the hard work. And that is actually part of what this radio network was founded to try to help achieve, was to bring about a civil discourse with great civility, as it were. And that's part of the challenge that was put forward here. And I think that at least in the degree to which it was brought up, it obviously was speaking to the really aggressive rhetoric that is all over American political discourse right now. And I do believe shortly we're going to be going to the California report from the KPFA newsroom that we normally have on in the 6 o'clock hour. And Ian Masters, very honored to join you tonight.
Well, thank you, Alan Minsky, and I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing, engineer Devin Jordan. This has been an extended edition of Background Briefing. I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. Bye for now.